Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the fourth episode of our Giants Insider Podcast. Fourth for this season, at least. If you go back to last year, there were obviously a ton of them. Today's guest, another good one, Jimmy Rollins, formerly of the Dodgers, the White Sox, the Phillies forever. He was an MVP in Philadelphia. That's where you know him from. Put up Hall of Fame numbers there for a long time. Now he's in a much different spot, trying to make this team as a reserve infielder, trying to be a bench guy for the Giants. We taped this about a week ago, so in this podcast, you'll hear him say they haven't played games yet. They have since then, and I think Jimmy early on has done nothing really to hurt his cause. He has showed that he can still play a little bit of shortstop. He can hit a little bit. He has gotten on base in the early going here, obviously a guy who will always be able to run and really has been out there every morning, bright and early at 8 a.m., working on that pivot at second base, working on being on that side of the field. That's something he has said will probably be the hardest part here, trying to learn second, trying to get comfortable there. He needs to show he can play second, short, and third probably to make this team, just given the competition and given what the Giants are looking for. But certainly off to a good start here. And as you'll see, has a bright future too. I think anybody who saw him on TV last year knows that, but certainly a guy who is very comfortable talking about baseball, talking about the game, and really did a nice job here in summing up a lot of things. Two quick things. One, we talked about the Dodgers. The team he was on was the 2015 Dodgers, so if you want some reference, that is the team that came into AT&T Park. The Giants were all banged up, and they played him tough, and then Kershaw went out there and did what he does. I think he struck out 13 that night. So that kind of ended that race. And also talked a lot about Madison Bumgarner and guys who he had trouble facing. Little reference there too. He is a .219 career hitter against Bumgarner. He mentioned his struggles against Tim Lincecum. And he's right. He was 9 for 50 against Timmy. So that'll give you a little context there as we get into that section. As always, I recommend you subscribe to the podcast. We're going to try to do 2 a week during the spring training season, and again, we'll do 1 a week during the season, so you can get those early if you subscribe. For now, here's Jimmy Rollins. What was your impression of this team being on the outside before you actually got here?
Oh, that's simple. Grinders. Doesn't matter what the score is. They don't play to the score necessarily, especially when they're down. You have to play 9 innings, all 54 outs, 27 both ways, and you saw that. It didn't matter what the situation was. That third out was always the toughest of every inning. They seemed to get a lot of runs and rallies started with 2 outs. And you knew that. The first 2 outs, don't take your foot off the gas pedal. And, you know, we've seen it for a lot of years in Philadelphia. And, you know, I got to see it in Los Angeles the same way. You can never count these guys out because they don't give up. And that's one thing I've always admired about the squad playing against them over the years. They don't give away a single out.
Being here now, having spent time in the clubhouse and on the field with them, is there something you see that you're starting to realize that's why that's the way it is?
Well, we haven't started playing games yet, but I still have that impression. When you talk to the guys and see the guys and see their work and see the intensity when they work, you see why they are the way they are. Boach also doesn't give in. You know, he's smart, he's intelligent, he knows baseball. He knows his players. He knows how to put them in the best situation to succeed, and the players believe that. And when you believe that, situation doesn't matter, because when it's your turn, when your number is called, you're in a situation to succeed, not just to, you know, having a bat or just to face a batter because the game's out of hand. You're in there to execute a play and get something done. And, you know, being in the clubhouse, talking to the guys, you see their confidence, you see their swag. Things don't need to be said because it's already been established.
You spend a lot of time on the East Coast. There are good rivalries out there, and then you get a season of Giants-Dodgers. Being down in Los Angeles, what was your first taste of kind of this back and forth?
It didn't really happen, you know, for me, you know, feeling that way till the last series against San Francisco when, at the time with the Dodgers, we clinched. Once again, right on our tails. And this is a swing series. If they take this series, then we have to go to the last three games and win. Obviously, they would have to win too, but we have that extra pressure. I don't mind it. That's what we play for. But then is when I felt like, okay, you know, this is what it's about. Two teams, the two top teams in the West, going at it, the long history, starting way back before many of us were born, and we're living it and playing it today. The fans in San Francisco, you know, pulling for the teams as they always do. The Beat LA chants, them coming out, I think the first two games, just, you know, just putting it on us. And, all right, what are we going to do? We know they're not going away, so you have to beat them. And we were able to do that. And now, you know, hopefully make the squad and get on this side of it and be on, once again, the other side of the Beat LA chants. It's not a bad one. I actually like it. It makes me laugh. But that's what it's about. We know that the two best teams in the West should be the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, and that'll play out over 162.
A big help for you guys that season, and every season for them, is Kershaw. You spent a year with him. I know you haven't had a lot of time with Bumgarner, but being around him, those two have become friends, and I think a lot of it is because of the way they go about their business, the way they compete. Have you seen similarities? Have you seen differences in just their attitudes off the field?
I haven't been around Mad Bum, whatever they call them, other names that we can't say on this show. But I found out, you know, Kershaw, he's only serious the day he pitches. You know, the guy is a clown. Like, he sits there, he pulls pranks, he's talking trash, he's joking. And I would have never thought that until I shared that clubhouse with him. But when it's game day, he's all on. It's intense. It's his job. It's his game. It's his mound. You know, almost, you know, don't get a reliever up type of mentality. And playing against Mad Bum, it was the same thing. When he took the mound, he expected himself to go nine. I'm not turning the ball over. And when he did, it was kind of like, all right, I get it. Okay. You know, not willingly, but more so reluctantly. I haven't seen what he's like off the field all that much yet. I asked him about the rabbit and the snake story, and he told me about that. And, you know, we had some experiences actually in the lunchroom. It was about when he first came, you know, from Carolina to pro ball, and just how the culture shock was. And we shared that experience. Coming from California, it was a culture shock for me too. But seeing the other side, the funny side, everybody has humor. I haven't seen that yet, but it's still early, and I'm looking forward to getting to know that side also.
A little sly with him sometimes.
But oh, yeah.
You have seen him a lot. You've seen a lot of these guys, not just being with the Dodgers, but being around. Who, for you, is the toughest guy in there to face?
And
in terms of pitching, yeah. Teammates now, but when you were on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, you can look at the numbers. I mean, it was their whole staff, you know, for me. So I remember Swung at a two-strike pick that pitch that Madison threw in L.A., and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a shot at a fastball. And he threw a curveball. The ball mounts maybe 2 feet in front of the plate, and I'm just swinging like I'm trying to hit a home run. Struck me out. I was like, all right, well, I gave it a shot. That didn't work out. Don't ever do that again. You know, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you have those matchups that you can't figure a guy out. And he was that for me. You know, he has a lot of deception with his move, stepping over sideways, slinging. But he has good control. He could backdoor a curveball when he wants to. He could cross fire and bag you up. So, you know, they pitched me tough between him and Buster, you know, putting down the fingers and Mad executing the pitches. They pitched me tough. So I would have to say him out of this staff. You know, when Tim was here, he was another tough matchup for me. But, you know, Madison was by far, you know, the guy's like, oh, this is going to be a tough day. Just get one hit at least. You know, one hit, doesn't matter when, and my day was accomplished.
It's been a couple years now that Bobby Evans has wanted to put you together with him, his teammates. The timing was right this offseason, yeah. Not last offseason. What was the difference for you that made it easier to come here this year?
Well, last year, I wanted to play. I wanted the opportunity to play. And, you know, team-wise, obviously, you know, this was a much better team. I knew that. That was something I consider strongly. Also, an opportunity to go back home. But, you know, my plan, everybody has plans, was to, you know, if things didn't go well in Chicago, to play well enough that when the deadline came around, the trade deadline came around, I'd get traded to a good team. But things unraveled pretty quick there. And I think that finally gave them direction and what they're going to do. You know, we just have to rebuild, start from ground zero. And because of that, I had an extended offseason. Got to think about a lot of things and, you know, see all the youth in the game and, like, wow, maybe I'm not as young as I think I am in a game of baseball, in a game of life, plenty young. But that doesn't mean I'm not serviceable. And how can I make myself more available to play, to contribute, other than just trying to play shortstop every day? So I was able to think about those things, digest it. So when the opportunity came around and knowing the Giants and Bobby had been after me for a few years and the time was right, I was open.
You said you were doing TV work and doing kind of maybe a transition, but at some point it clicked for you. What was it that clicked that you said, I want to do this again, I want to be part of the postseason?
The playoffs. You know, 162, I mean, last year I didn't miss that part of it. It was like, you know what, it didn't work out. You know, it was, you know, presented as the ideal situation. I'm going to enjoy, you know, Chicago for a month, hang around, do 4th of July, first 4th of July, outside of a stadium since I was 16, you know, get to be with the kids and just see what life is like as a normal person, as in not being in uniform over the summer, not having all those perks of flying and traveling hotels and being a guy that, or part of the guys that people came to see, just being a normal human being. Picking the kids up from school, taking them to school, getting up early, all the things that you don't get to do when you're playing. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that thoroughly, but getting back into TV, working with Sheffield, Pedro, Casey, you guys at TBS, getting to the playoff situation, like, this is what I miss. But you can't get there without the 162. So get me to a team that I feel is going to get to the playoffs, and I'm there for 162.
When you signed, when you made the decision official to come back here, what was your reaction? I mean, you mentioned you're not just a California guy, you're an East Bay guy.
Yeah.
This is across the bridge.
So right.
What was the reaction from family, from friends?
Oh, they're happy. They're ecstatic, my mom and dad. I don't know if they're ecstatic for me or for the fact that they get to see their grandkids all the time. You know, I think they're happy that I'll be home, yeah. But because the grandkids come with me. Only person that kind of had a little, two people, is a good friend of mine, Aaron, you know, season ticket holder over at the Coliseum, bleeds green and gold, and my high school baseball coach, Jim Saunders, same way. But he actually put on a Giants hat. Yeah, he put on a Giants hat. My cousin goes in Snell. He's a junior in high school. He's a junior there. Snapped the picture of it and sent it to me. I was like, wow. Because he would, I mean, he basically vowed to never put on those colors. But, you know, I'm there now. So it's not that he's necessarily a Giants fan. It's just, you know, still supporting me. So those may be the only two people that kind of love it, kind of got that cringe about it. But other than that, everyone's happy. And for me, you know, making the team be like a homecoming. I mean, I don't plan it being my last year, but if so, what a way to go out.
Well, there's a long sellout streak here, so those guys can help. I think management will be happy to know you're bringing in new fans.
I'm sure.
Yep. Growing up, what were your experiences with the Giants?
TV. Right. Obviously, 1989 was a great year for me, being an A's fan. My first Giants game came between my junior, senior year, maybe. The Braves were playing San Francisco. My cousin, who was a teammate, former teammate of Tony Tarasco, took me over to a game. Now, I'd always had the curiosity to go. No doubt, they had great players. I knew that from across the bay. You know, Matt Williams at third, Royce Clayton, Bobby Thompson, Will Clark, obviously BBS, Glenn Allen Hill. This is just a number of guys. K. Mitch. that were good players and had a good team for a long, long time, but you just couldn't necessarily pull for them. But when I went over there to go hang out at Candlestick Park, take in that swirling wind, and you need blankets at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, because it was so different from what I was experiencing over at the Coliseum. And then watching the game, Deion Sanders actually was playing at the time, hit a ball, which I thought was a single, up the right center gap. Remember, he had supposedly had a torn Achilles, and he's limping up to the plate, but he took off and got to third base in like 2 seconds. It's like, you know what? Baseball is baseball, and I don't have to be limited to just being an A's fan. I'm a fan of baseball, period, and it's okay if I have a National League team and an American League team. So that became my default. You can have a team in each league and not be a traitor.
Did you ever think, just during your career, obviously, on the East Coast and then Chicago last year, did you think you wanted to come full circle? Was there anything important to you about finishing up in the Bay Area?
No, not really. I mean, I didn't really see myself leaving Philadelphia. You know, we were there, we had a run, and, you know, you're going to ride that out until your career's over, because you never believe the run's going to end. But it did, and, you know, baseball goes on. And look at the great players that have passed away, that have retired, and guess what? The team, the organization, and players are still putting on those same uniforms. So baseball will go on. But coming home was always like a thought, not something that I really, you know, turn into reality. But the opportunity presented itself at the right time, and obviously it was a no-brainer, you know, when they called. But prior to, you know, maybe this year, it was always a nice thing to think about, like, man, some players get to go home, or some players are from the place that they actually playing in. And I just never really considered it. I was signed to Philadelphia. That was a team that drafted me. That was my loyalty.
Well, it's been a couple of years that they've tried to make it happen. You finally got over here. Welcome to the Bay Area. And thanks for the time.
No problem.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. We'll be right back.